conduct in these last days. How are we supposed to live in these days that we're facing now? And I'd like for you to turn with us to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll be reading a few verses of scripture from here. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, we'll read down through verse 8. The Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Folks, we got something glorious waiting on us in heaven. Now, I know we're looking forward to seeing our loved ones. Folks, I have not seen nor ear heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And I know you love Him tonight. People love the Lord come to church on Sunday night. Then we go on and the Bible says in verse 5, who are kept by the powers of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Thank you. You may be seated. I know I said through verse 8, but that's through verse 7. And folks, I don't have to describe to you what kind of times that we're living in now. And I've got good news for you. They're going to get worse. But we got a Heavenly Father that knows all about what we're going through with. As I said, I want to preach on the subject of Christian conduct in these last days. How is a Christian supposed to live in these troublesome times, these last days? And folks, I believe that we are living in the last days. And as the second coming of the Lord draws nearer, and we get closer and closer to His coming, things are going to get even worse. We got chaos in our land today. And we have lawlessness. No one is held accountable regardless of what position that they hold. We have unrest. We have political upheaval. Never seen a time. I've been here a long time. As some of you have. Most of you haven't been here as long as I have. But I've never seen a day in the political arena that we're facing today. We have immorality. We have abominable laws that's being passed. Of course, that we are thinking about abortion, same-sex marriage. And folks, it broke my heart when I saw on TV those amber lights over the White House. And I don't know, but I'm afraid that God has written Ichabod over the White House. I hope not. Families are being destroyed. Over 2 million, somewhere between 2 and 3 million couples are living together unmarried. There's rape, there's murder, child abuse, drugs, alcohol, gambling, you name it. It's going on in America today. So how are we going to contend, or how should a Christian live in these trying times, in these last days? Well, first of all, I think that we need to expect them. We need to expect things to be the way they are, and that they will be getting even worse. It will get harder and harder to live the Christian life, because there will be so much trouble coming from the devil himself. The devil has opened up his arsenal and is firing every weapon that he has at the Christian today. He is trying his best to destroy the family. And when he does that, the church itself is gone. So we should expect the times that we're going through now. Peter wrote here in 1 Peter chapter 6, he said, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. There's pressure being applied to the church and to the Christian by the federal government itself. Pressure being applied to the church from the state and local governments. There's more depression among Christians than there ever have been before. I heard a preacher say just the other day, he said, I go through times, terrible times of depression. This is a Baptist preacher. Charles Spurgeon wrote of times that he went through terrible, terrible depressions. And if there's not times that you're not going through them, then you're very blessed. You are very blessed here tonight. But the Bible says here in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, though it be tried with fire, and folks, that's where we are today. Our faith is being tried. And most are throwing up their hands and giving up. Folks, this is a good crowd here tonight. Most churches, most Baptist churches, are closed this evening. My wife, as we came over here, pointed out a church, said, it's so sad that that church is closed tonight. Thank God for churches and for people that would give the Lord His day. We need to worship Him. We need to give the Lord this day. People are tempted to give up. The Bible says over in chapter 4 and verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now, folks, I want to tell you, the devil will speak to your mind. He will discourage you. He will tell you there's no reason to come to church. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is a good reason to come to church on Sunday night. He's worthy of worship. He's worthy of praise. And we need to worship the Lord on Sunday evenings also. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Folks, they crucified our Lord. And the servant is not better than his master there. We can expect Christians to be mocked and ridiculed. In fact, the Christians are the problem of this culture, so say the lost. We are the problem. Folks, the Bible says that we are the light of the world. What darkness there would be without the church today. We are the light. And if the church were to quit praying, there's no telling what would happen in this world. But I believe we get a picture of that in the book of Revelation concerning the tribulation times. We want to look at how the Christian is supposed to live during these trying days. Turn with us to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. How are we to contend with the times, these turbulent times that we're to live in? And I said a moment ago, the closer the return of Christ, the worse things are going to get. And folks, God gives us directions through His Holy Word. The Bible says in Psalms 37 and verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Fret not yourself because... And folks, there are evildoers. We see them in the political arena everywhere that we look. We turn on the TV to see how the campaign is going. And we see evildoers. There are schemers and the people that have no respect for the church, that have no respect for the Word of God. People that don't even know that Sunday is a day that we come to worship the Lord. What does God say? He says, fret not because of evildoers. Not to be irritated at them. And you know, it's pretty easy to get irritated at people when they come on and you see them on TV and you know they're lying. You know that they're not telling the truth. You know they're just saying what they need to say to get elected. But God says, fret not because of evildoers. Not to worry about it. Then He says, be not envious against the workers of iniquity. Now folks, it's easy to be jealous of people. I mean, you see somebody doing better than you are, especially if they're not living for the Lord. You see the lost and see how they're prospering there. The Bible said for us not to be envious of them people, not to be jealous of those people. Then He says in the remainder of that verse, not to be envious against the workers of iniquity in verse 2, for they shall be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. You see, God knows how to take care of the evildoers. Now, let me give you some examples of that. And some of you young people will not know anything about it. Probably didn't study it in the schools. But some of us older people remember a man by the name of Hitler. Hitler was the dictator of Germany. And he was wanted to rule the world. And in the process of doing that, he killed almost 5 million Jews. And some people say the number is even greater. Then we look at a leader by the name of Mussolini. Mussolini was a dictator of the Japanese. And the Japanese marched 10,000 of our soldiers to death. They did not care about life. And they were malicious people. Let me name one that most of you will remember. His name is Saddam Hussein. He murdered millions of his people. His own people. But God says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Listen, where are they today? I would imagine all three of them are burning in hell. God knows how to take care of them. Then He says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I believe that means relax. This is one of the most relaxed churches I've ever seen in my life. Y'all don't get in here. I like that. I mean, there's no form. There's no order of service, or, well, there are, there it is sitting right over there. But He is the pastor of the church. He's the leader. He is the one that God directs His church through. Where was I? Trust in the Lord. I mean, I believe we can just know that God has everything in control. Though it looks like that the world is going to hell, I mean, full blast. But God is still in control. God's in control of our salvation. We are saved by the grace of our Heavenly Father, and the devil cannot do anything about it. Folks, it's a wonderful thing to know that we're saved. Then He's in control of our finances. Y'all are a beautiful building here. But God is supplying the need. And He tells us to take no thought of what we shall eat or drink or what we shall put on. The Bible says that God knows we have need of all of these things. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. He's in control. And He's in control of the future. Look at verse 25. Psalms 37. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. God takes care of His children. There's not one of you. I don't believe there's a person in here that would not take care of his children or his grandchildren or his great-grandchildren. I mean, we would put our life up for them. And God loves us even more than we love our own. God would take care of our future. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. God says it's coming. And a lot of us have already sensed that. We have experienced it. But He said, make place for it. The church is under persecution. God says it's coming. Make place for wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You see, we don't have to get revenge. Somebody says something, somebody does something to us, we don't have to go after that person. Just leave it in God's hands. God knows how to take revenge much better than we do. And God will take care of His children. Don't you worry about that. God has it all in control. Then He says, and do good. You know, there's always a temptation to do like other people do. I mean, if they look like they're having a good time, and we may not think that we're having a good time, and there's a temptation. But the Bible says to do good. You are doing good tonight. You're in the house of God. You're where that the Lord wants you to be. You are doing good. You say, preacher, what else can I do to do good? Pray. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Trust the Lord in that. And to pray. And God hears. His ear is not too heavy to hear. And His arm is not too short to save. God can still give revival to His people. I believe that. God's able to do that. Then He said, delight thyself in the Lord. Amen. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. Delight yourself. I look at my wife. And I delight in my wife. And she'll kill me when we start home. But to me, she's the most beautiful woman that I've ever seen. And I delight and having a honey, would you stand up where everybody's? Please stand up. Just stand up just a minute. Amen. I delight in having this beautiful lady as my wife. Of course, I may not have her after tonight. But we can delight ourselves in the Lord and His love for us. God loves us. The Lord loves each one of us tonight. He gave His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. And we can delight in the Lord loving us tonight. Hallelujah! He loves us tonight. Glory to God! We can delight in Him loving us. We can delight in His provisions of salvation for us. Folks, I don't know how you looked at yourself, but I certainly wasn't worthy of the Son of God giving His life on the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood, suffering a death that was so rough and terrible and bad that His vices was marred more than any man. Listen, folks, He didn't look human, is what the Bible was saying. I didn't deserve that. But we can delight ourselves in His provisions of salvation for us. We can delight ourselves in His mercies. God's good to us, folks. We'll go home this evening. Ride in an automobile there. And we'll go in a house that's got furniture in it. That's got food in the cupboard. Food in the refrigerator. Clothes in the closet. A bed to sleep in. Glory to God! He's good to us! His mercies are more than we could possibly deserve. And then His forgiveness. Oh God, thank You for Your forgiveness. We can delight in His forgiveness of our sins. Then we can delight in praising Him. Oh, listen, folks. There's nothing like praising the Lord. There's nothing like just getting alone by yourself and get on your knees and just cry out to God and thank Him and praise Him. My favorite verse, one of my favorites. All of my favorite, one of my favorite. Psalms 103 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah! To the Lord tonight. Delight ourselves in the Lord. Bless His holy name. Then commit thy way unto the Lord. Not my will, not my way, but Your will, Lord. Your will in my life. Your way in my life. May the life of the Lord Jesus Christ be lived in and through us tonight. Oh, I pray to be like Him. I can't make it. I can't be like Him, but one day I will. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear that we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. I shall be like Jesus. Have you ever thought about that glorified body? I like to think about that glory. I done got old. And I hurt all the time. I mean, my knees, my hips, and back, and head hurt. But one of these days, I'm going to have a glorified body. And I like the way we're going to travel. You say, preacher, well, this is my idea. I don't know what you think about it. We had to get in got in my vehicle and came over here. It took us about an hour. But I believe during the millennium reign, when we get our glorified body, I'm gonna think about Liberty Baptist Church. Bam! There I am. Folks, I know one preacher wants to be the head of the county commissioner and head of the county commissioners in Caddo County. I don't want that. I don't want anything to do with that. Whatever the Lord has, that's for him. Then he says, rest in the Lord. Commit thy way in the Lord, rest in the Lord. Why should we be all upset, restless, and discontent? The Bible says, rest in Him. Well, listen, folks. When you lay down at night, what do you think about? What you got to do the next day? Or the first that you had with your kids, if you got teenagers, you're going to have arguments. But He says, rest in the Lord. Then it says, and wait patiently for Him. How many of you have ever prayed a prayer, then tried to run ahead of God and answer your own prayer? I heard one person say, you know, I prayed the Lord that He would let me have His car. And I asked Him if it was His will for me to have this car, to make the bank let me have the money. Well, anybody with good sense knows that if you got good credit, the bank's going to let you have the money. I mean, we just run ahead of God all the time, trying to answer the prayers that we pray to Him. God hears our prayer. God's able to answer our prayer. Then He says, cease from anger. Folks, we're preaching on how to live in troublesome times, in the latter days. Cease from anger. You know what? Mine done that this morning, brother. My daughter called me. We were sitting in Sunday school. My daughter called me. Our Sunday school starts before theirs did. But anyway, cease from anger. Why is anger such a problem? Why is it so bad to be angry? Well, number one, you're going to say things that you ought not to say when you're angry. You're going to say things that you wish you never had said, that you're going to regret. When you're angry, you're out of control. And the Bible says, cease from anger. We make decisions that we regret when we're angry. I don't know, is a Brother Ken on the amen or got out of that? I thought I'd get that. We think things that we have to repent of when we get angry. And then He says, and forsake wrath. Folks, it's not good for us to get angry, to that wrath. Wrath is intense anger and rage. But listen, folks. There's a lot in Psalms 37. And I'm almost out of time. Listen to what God says, folks. This blesses my soul over in the next Psalm, Psalm 40. Psalm 40 and verse 5. The Bible says, many, O Lord my God. Amen. You know, I was reading that the other day. And David said something to me. God said something through David. David wrote this psalm. And he said, many, O Lord, my God. David's God is my God. David's God is our God. The sovereign, supreme, holy, righteous God. He's my God tonight. He's your God. He rules the universe. He's the creator of all things. God reached back into nothing, took nothing in His hand, and flung it out into nothing, and became all this universe. And that God is my God tonight. Hallelujah. Folks, think about that. I had wonderful parents, but they can't compare to my Lord. I got wonderful friends, but they can't compare to my can't compare to my God. And this precious lady over here that bore six precious children can't compare to my God. But He is my God. Notice what He says. Many, O Lord, my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy faults which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. How about that? I'm on God's mind. You're in God's thoughts, folks. This church is in God's thoughts. God is thinking about those that's not here tonight, too. But He's thinking about you. His thoughts are toward you. These are motivating and inspiring words to us. Folks, it kind of makes me want to charge hell with a water pistol. This book does something for me. And it does something for all. You know why? It's inspired of God. This is an inspired book. Our witness, in other words, the way we live, should be stronger than it's ever been before. Lord, we need to pray, Lord, the fields are white under our harvest. Let me be a laborer. And then let my life glow with the presence of the Lord. Let my life be a witness unto the Lord. Our prayers should be more fervent than they've ever been before. You know, I was thinking last night after I went to bed. I prayed before I went to bed. I prayed yesterday afternoon. But I thought, what a frivolous prayer. But I hope it wasn't to God. But it takes something to pray, folks. Most prayers are those, now lay me down to sleep prayers. But folks, we need to get a hold of God when we pray. We need to touch God. You know, I thought about this. I want my children's names to be heard in heaven. I want God. I want heaven to be familiar with my children and my grandchildren, my loved ones. Folks, our prayers should be fervent. And I know I'm running long. I'm almost through. Our faithfulness to worship should be greater than it's ever been before. Folks, I'm a church man. I believe in the church. Because the head of the church is Christ. And the church is the body of Christ. And I believe in the church. God commissioned the church to preach and to carry the word. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting, that means to encourage. A preacher told me one time, I had to come by here every Sunday. He said, well, I passed by that church and that parking lot is packed full, even on Wednesday nights. Of course, the parking lot has expanded a great deal since then. I don't know how it is now. But you know what? That's an encouragement. I know a preacher that started a church, and he got his members to drive every car that they had to church and park them. He said, you just put a lot of cars. People wonder what's going on. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging one another. And so much the more as you see the day is coming. Is approaching. The day approaching. And it's approaching fast. He'll be here soon. Our joy should be more evident than ever before. Folks, this world needs a witness. And you know what? The church is responsible for being that witness. Our joy should be more evident than ever before. And folks, we got reason for joy. And hold on just a minute and I'll be through. Peter says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope, a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, listen. Joy. We're talking about joy. He says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." I don't want to see a show of hands, but how many of you ever wondered how it would be to win the lottery? I would imagine you're just like I am. You wonder what it would be. But listen, folks. $300 million don't even scratch the surface in comparison to what God has in store for us. An inheritance. And listen, verse 8, "Whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Now, two verses of Scripture. Jesus was speaking words of encouragement. He's also teaching His disciples as He spake these words on the way to Gethsemane. In John chapter 16, verse 33, He said, "These things I have spoken unto you." Now the Lord had spoken before to His disciples just a short time before. He spoke of persecution that would come. He spoke of the Holy Spirit that would come and fill them. He spoke of His death and resurrection. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." And folks, Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." Nobody can bring contentment and joy and peace like our Lord. "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The last verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren," Paul speaks about the resurrection. He speaks about the Lord's coming again. He speaks about victory over death, hell, and the grave. And then he says unto them, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know, for as much as you know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Listen, God has a crown of faithfulness that He's going to give. And folks, you're not going to regret being faithful to your church. God bless you, Brother Kim.